Fascinating discussion tonight with Miriam Delicato, her book, Blue Star, Fulfilling Prophecy. And we'll be back with more. We'll talk about the message she has, how the Hopis tie into the Mayans, and just fascinating information. That'll be next on Coast to Coast AM. Miriam, before we get into more of the Hopi information, tell us about this message.
Well, the message that is so critical for me, and I find overwhelming, actually, in being given this particular day to come on Coast to Coast. Something interrelated with these prophecies of the Hopi and the Mayans and the people from North and South America, the eagle and the condor. I'm going to get into this a little bit, but to tell you that at this very moment, George, as we're having this conversation together, the Hopi have begun a very sacred ceremony, and they've already been preparing for it for weeks now. And as we are having this discussion about them, they are doing what it is that they have made this commitment of their lives to, in holding this truth and this wisdom and knowledge and promise to Masao to uphold the sacred laws of living with nature and to hold the balance of not just the world, but of everything. And this particular ceremony is about laying out the life plan for the new year. So it's very fitting, in my view, that I was blessed enough to have this opportunity to come on the program today, because one of the reasons that I chose to come forward, because the Hopi did not ask me to, they are aware that I'm of me having this conversation.
And it did not bother them that you were coming on?
Did it bother them? I think I'll have to clarify that. They're concerned. They're concerned because so often in the past, and even right now, there are people who are taking their sacred knowledge, which is the prophecies. They're taking wisdom that they think that they understand, and they're using it to further themselves, either you know, on any different level, to make a name for themselves, to get themselves notoriety. And I know that some people are going to view what it is that I'm doing in the same way. But I have spent probably close to, I spent two full months in Hopi in April and in March and April of this year because of the prophecies. And I spent them in Hopi. And these leaders that are in Hopi, something very unique has happened in the last year with them. And it is one of the misconceptions that I'm here to straighten out.
Okay.
And to me, this is so serious, George. I'm taking a breath because I need to make sure that this is done properly and respectfully for them on their behalf.
And you know how difficult it's been to get Hopi elders, real Hopi elders.
Yeah.
I want to qualify that.
Thank you.
on the program. I mean, there are some people who will come on claiming to be Hopi elders, but it's pretty difficult to authenticate them. So,
well, you know, George, I'm loving the conversation with you because, you know, clearly you understand that there are some issues here. Okay. Let me just give me one moment here to think about how I'm going to encapsulate this.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. The issue out in Hopi is that there are, as I began to explain before, you know, about the one village has all the different kivas, and each kiva will represent a different part of knowledge. And then there are clans, and then the clans represent different knowledge. And then there are societies within those kivas, and there are structures for the hierarchy of the, quote, leaders and who they are in the village and in the kivas and in the home. And it is absolutely, I always crack jokes about this, honestly. I say, if anyone ever thought that politics was complicated. All they have to do is look at Hopi, the life of Hopi, and it's like it's like looking at child's play in the rest of the world. The rest of the world is like children playing because it is so complex. So this is one of the reasons why there's been so much abuse, and I would have to use that word strongly, in the misrepresentation of the Hopi, because the Hopi leaders, for example, come from the Kivas, the villages, the mesas, the tribe. And one of the areas that people are not clear on right now, for example, with an event that happened in Hopi, or they tried to have it happen in Hopi in April of this year. And the Hopi were not in agreement with this particular event because they had not been spoken to. And this was an event that the Mayans were involved with. And sadly, it was to do with the gathering. And these Hopi leaders are from all of these different villages and mesas. So when I say the leadership, okay, during our conversation tonight, when I say that, what I'm saying is that many of these leaders, I'm not going to say all of them because that would be not truthful either, but many of the key leaders are truly in agreement with not participating in that event in April. They were all in agreement with not coming forward and talking about the prophecies to people at this time. And there's a reason for that. We'll get into that in a moment. And so they don't want to come forward, George, because whenever they speak, it's like someone says, it's like you go to Hopi, you visit the elders, and you can, some many people have that opportunity to speak, meet with some of these very high leaders. And at the end of it, the leaders will look at them and they will make a statement quite similar to this. They'll say, now take this knowledge back to the world with you. And then that person misunderstands, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're speaking on behalf of Hopi.
Right, and it's all over the place.
Right.
And the other thing I found too, Mary, is you go on the Internet, and you try to look for Hopi prophecy, you'll get all these different kinds of dramatic, prophetic items, you know, that, you know, when the blue star, and there's an interpretation, many I've seen, about what that is and what that means, ant people and everything else. How do we know what's real and what isn't?
Well, you know, this is the whole point, is that you cannot listen to individuals that are coming forward talking about Hopi prophecies and saying this is what happened. There's two individuals that are Hopis, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to be very respectful. There are two individuals that are Hopis that are currently out there speaking to the world. These two individuals are being very, you know, very hard to deal with the traditional leaders and people in Hopi.
Because so I would ask, they're not endorsed by the Hopis, are they?
No, not in any way, shape, or form.
But people don't know that.
Right. And so they're coming forward and understand that the one individual is not what they say. He's not initiated from the Water Clan, okay? And when someone is not initiated, it means that even, it's like saying a two-year-old is Water Clan. They have the same, they're from this clan. It doesn't mean that they have this sacred right to do water ceremony. That right to do a water ceremony by the Hopi must be learned, and it must be learned through the societies, and it must be endorsed by the clan itself.
Yeah.
And so that's an example. And then talking about the prophecies coming forward, these people don't have the authority to come forward and talk about their prophecies. And this, the next statement I'm going to make, George, is why I've come forward.
Okay. You know, it's almost as if, had Nostradamus been alive, you have 15 people out there interpreting his quatrains, and Nostradamus probably said, hey, I didn't let any of you want to do this. You know, this, let me be the one to say, well, he's gone now. So we have to we're at the mercy of those who interpret that. But go ahead.
Right. And that's precisely the point. Doom and gloom, we're all going to die, 2012, blue star prophecy, you know, what does it all mean? Okay, this is my understanding that I have been clearly told repeatedly over and over by the Hopi. And this is, again, to clarify and make this crystal clear to the listeners, this is not about one Hopi leader. This is about all of them across Hopi. And I have kept this relationship private because I didn't feel that it was, you know, it would be disrespectful to share with the public the fact that during this event where they had to actually create a law to protect themselves from outsiders, that they did this. And then they got people pointing fingers back at them by saying, oh, it was all the Hopi tribe, and it was all them. The Hopi tribe, meaning the government-run Hopi tribe, got involved in this event in April because of the fact that the traditional leaders, the spiritual leaders, the Kiva leaders, the chiefs, in numerous numbers of them, went to the Hopi tribe and said, help us. We don't want this to happen. This isn't right for a lot of reasons. And so they tried to, you know, put this law into place. And then the next thing you know, all of a sudden, the story goes out across the airwaves that the Hopi are all, you know, broken apart and that they are not unified and that they're
infighting and everything else.
Infighting and and then now we have someone saying that the Blue Star Prophecy has been fulfilled. There's other individuals who are saying that the movie...
2012?
No. Well, close enough. Sure.
Apocalypso?
The Day After Tomorrow, I think it was.
That was based on Art Bell's book, The Coming, and Whitley's The Coming Global Superstorm. I don't know if that was it, though. That was more of an Earth Changes movie.
Well, one of the Hopis that's currently out there speaking on behalf of Hopi, who is clearly not authorized, is telling people that the Day After Tomorrow is not a possibility, that it is a certainty in the Hopi. But understand that these people, for the prophecies themselves, all of these prophecies, for example, the ones that came from Hauteville, from Thomas Banyaka, he came from Hauteville area, so Third Mesa. Second Mesa is the mother village, and they are currently the village where the Mesa, where all of the sacred ceremonies are still being maintained. And that means that all of the Kachina dances are happening, which are the sacred dances, not what they call the social dances.
Yeah, what does Kachina mean? Sacred?
You know what? That's a good question, George. I've never bothered to ask. But the Kachinas are like their gods, right?
Okay.
The Kachinas are like their gods. And so the Kachina dances, the Kachinas stand for different things within the culture, within the connectedness of everyone. And everything in Hopi life is interconnected. And so are these prophecies. The prophecies can't be told by one clan, one Kiva, one person.
But the bulk of the Hopis, they do believe in the prophecies, don't they?
Oh, my goodness. The prophecies, absolutely. And they are seeing signs that are beginning to show. I can feel quite confident that they are seeing signs that are beginning to show that they're saying, wow, this may be a prophecy being fulfilled. But they haven't said to me directly what that was. But when it comes to 2012 and when it comes to the Blue Star Prophecy, those two that people are talking about so much right now, I'm going to clarify.
Okay.
2012, one of the biggest concerns that they have are these people that are stepping forward talking about these prophecies have no authority to do so or the spiritual backing.
On behalf of the Hopis.
On behalf of the Hopi.
Okay, there are some people talking about 2012 who don't even make reference to the Hopis.
Right. But the ones that are talking and saying, yes, you know, the Hopi are saying this or the Hopi are saying that. No, this is not true. This is a handful of people that are saying, making up their own minds, you know, their own decisions, just like any good researcher would do, and then coming to a conclusion. And because they happen to be Hopi, people are listening to them.
Sure.
2012 to the Hopi does not mean the end of the world. It doesn't mean death, destruction, and dying. And they are so concerned about this particular point. And 2012, they just look at me, and I can see their faces as I'm saying this. Just look at me, and they shake their head. And they say, I just don't understand why people are doing this. Now, this ceremony that they are in right now for this laying out of the new year is about being respectful. Yeah. And this is very much what they call the month of being respectful. And their concern is that understanding how these energies in life work and how everything is truly interconnected as they go into their ceremonies to hold the balance of the world. But let me say that the condor dancers that were at this event in April are also in this sacred ceremony laying out of the new year at this very moment. And so that has to do with the condor and the eagle prophecy being fulfilled or not fulfilled. These sacred people are doing their work to hold everything in balance. And here's what we're doing on the outside world. A couple of rogue people, even within these different groups, within Hopi or within other nations and tribes also, are going around and talking about 2012 and talking about the destruction that we're possibly going to be going into. And they hold a lot of energy in doing that.
And they're scaring the heck out of us.
Yes. And the concern of the Hopi is, and I've had more than one of them say this to me, man, those people, they're going to make it happen because of what we're thinking and doing. And right now, the connection for me, George, is that I've sat, I promised them that I would never talk about this. But the risk of not coming forward at this time is so great for the balance of not only ourselves as humanity, as a collective. I mean, look at, I've been listening on the air just like everybody else to the commercials, talking about the government, talking about how we're, you know, the financial situation. All of these things, our rights are being taken away, genetically modified foods, seeds, all of these things. George, we have got to turn things around. And one of the things that is critical right now is that these indigenous people deserve our respect. And James Arthur Ray, for example, has done a great disservice to these sacred and beautiful people, not just the Hopi, but all over, by taking a ceremony that he has no concept of in the intricacies of it, and then pumping it back out and selling it to people and saying, this is a spiritual experience. That is not spiritual. And there is no tribe that I know in anywhere in the world that would agree that that is something spiritual. So, you know, this is a really serious subject matter because we are all clamoring for something, even more so. And because this 2012 Mayan connection, here's the thing. The Hopis and the Mayans are connected.
Let's hold it right there, okay? We're going to take this break, and I want to talk about the Hopi and Mayan connection when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, next hour, we're going to take your phone calls with Miriam. Right now, when we come back, though, more on the Hopis and the Mayans on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. We're with Miriam Delicato, and we're also talking about her work, Blue Star Fulfilling Prophecy. Now the tie-in, the Mayans and the Hopis. If there is a tie-in, is there?
There absolutely is. And actually, this is where it gets, I believe that it gets the most interesting. First of all, to just go back just for a moment to the Blue Star Prophecy. So the information coming from the Hopi is that the Blue Star Prophecy, there is not a consensus from all of the leaders that this has happened, first of all. And that 2012 is not the end of the world and we're not going to have devastating destruction, that it's actually a positive message that they see for the future. It's a positive message. And that they believe that this is going to be a positive event and that it is truly a time of transformation rather than a destruction. It means that we're just going to change. We're going to change who we are. So this is where the tie-in comes with the Mayans. Now, I'm going to tell you two different levels of this. One is from the contact that I had from these tall blonde ETs that very specifically told me that these groups of people that were taken from the last world were brought into this, what we call the fourth world. And these ETs were very clear that these particular people, these indigenous tribes around the world, have something very special, and that is within their very DNA that they are different than the rest of the human beings on Earth. Because it's like saying that they're a different prototype of physical being. And this is also one of the reasons why they've been able to not be tempted by this outside world, because really within their DNA, they've already gone through this process once. Now, the Hopis and the Mayans in particular, along with a few other groups of indigenous people around the earth, are still deeply connected to their sacred ways. The Hopis and the Mayans were originally the same people. It was like saying they were exactly the same group.
Hmm.
So when the Mayans say that they are the timekeepers, they can't be the timekeepers without the Hopi, because the Hopi also are the timekeepers. So whatever it is that we can say about the Mayans, we can also say about the Hopi, because there was a split in that group a very long time ago. And they both held on to different parts of the sacred knowledge to ensure its safety. Now, that's my understanding of that. And the Mayans have stepped forward because they recognize that all of these prophecies that have given them a guide as to where humanity is in this cycle is coming to the transition phase. And that's what this is. It's a transition. It's not destructive in any way. And although the Mayans talk about moving into the heart, it is in the heart of humanity and in the heart of the earth. It is in the heart of everything that they're referring to. And these indigenous tribes around the world, if they are still connected in the traditional way, meaning doing sacred ceremony, then they are receiving these messages from the other worlds, from the other dimensions, that we are in that very special time right now. And they have an important role to play in this transition phase that humanity is walking through. I mean, there's not a single human being that is alive today that can truly sit back and admit that we are not in a transition phase of life.
And we can feel it. We can all feel it.
Yes.
We should be able to.
And so my message is not mine. I'm not here on the air because I'm the only one getting this message. Millions of people are receiving the exact same messages as me. The difference between me and them is that I have an opportunity to speak with you. There is no difference. And so it is with the indigenous tribes. The Hopis and the Mayans, the prophecy of the condor and the eagle coming together, is really about bringing back the spiritual way of life for all of us and bringing that back into our lives. The indigenous people that are still living in the sacred ways need to come halfway out of their protection mode of who they are and what they're doing. They need to come and meet the industrial world. And the industrialized world, we need to go halfway and meet them. Because until we find that balance between the two worlds, we're not going to succeed. We can't go back to a fully sacred way of life, meaning we can't all live in a jungle or, you know, in an isolated area. And we can't, and they can't all come out and live in our cities, but we have to come together. And that's where this is really fascinating, because when I received those messages from the ETs in 2008, it was about this great gathering. It was about the gathering beginning. And this gathering, as it was described to me in 1988, and again, if you think back to 1988, not a lot of people were talking about aliens and ETs and extraterrestrials, although,
no,
George, I would suspect that you were.
Yeah, a little bit. Hey, and also, I want you to explain to us what the blue star is, because I'm hearing different definitions on that too, Miriam.
Well, you know, again, I know that I know everyone's going to be a little disappointed when I answer this, because the blue star is not something that they will discuss with anyone, and because they haven't seen it yet, and they don't want to throw people into panic if it does come. They don't want people to misunderstand or misrepresent what it is that they've said, so they have not talked to people about it. And, you know, if you would ask my opinion after being with them for as long as I have, because I have a very strong opinion that the Comet Holmes that happened in 2007 was indeed the blue star that appeared. That is my...
That's your feeling, your
interpretation. That's my feeling. That's my interpretation. When I've said that to them, they have not, they've not said no, but they haven't said yes. And they've said, we don't talk about our prophecies with anyone. And so the blue star, until we hear from these sacred elders themselves, I think the wisdom that I can share is that we need to use caution with these prophecies, because representatives coming forward, I am not representing Hopi. I'm not. I'm a friend to them, and that's the way that I like to describe it. I'm a friend of theirs who is greatly concerned because of my contacts with my star beings and the star family that's out there, and that we all have a job to do, and we're doing that in our own ways, taking that responsibility. The blue star, I believe, is a physical event, in my view, from the information that the ETs gave me. Because, you see, George, in 1988, they specifically said to me that a star would appear in the sky for all of man to see, and that nothing or no one would be able to hide its presence from the world, and that it would be a sign to the people that the end was near and it was time to prepare. And they didn't say that that was the end of the world. They said that we needed to prepare for a different way of life, a more natural way of life. And so... yes, I've talked about safe lands and all of those things, and so have the Hopi, but it gets twisted by whoever it is that's not really, they're only focusing on one area. So the blue star, until they come forward, I'm going to tell everyone and ask everyone to please have respect and wait for them. And honestly, George, I hope that they come onto your program. I would love to have them come forward and speak to you on your program. That would be amazing.
Are you familiar with this spiral that was spotted over Norway?
Yeah.
Some people said it was a Russian rocket. Who knows? But it had a blue beam right in the middle of it, Miriam.
Yes.
Does that have anything to do with any of this?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? It could very well be. I actually took that information and sent it off frantically to my friends out in Hopi, these traditional leaders. To a couple of them, and I just said, are you aware of this? Do you know what this is? And they didn't get back to me because, of course, they were going into ceremony, and they don't speak to anyone when they go into ceremony. It doesn't matter who you are. Obama could go into Hopi, and they wouldn't care. They don't speak to anyone. So I think that they look at those things, and maybe they will come forward and make a comment or a statement about that at some point in the near future. And one of the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing is hopefully to... you know, clear that space and clear up some misunderstandings about who the Hopi are and what information is being given about them. But these sacred people from all over, going back to that for a moment with the indigenous people, they all have had prophecies given to them by the Creator when they came to this world. And those prophecies were given to them not as something that would be for sure that would happen, but signs that they were told to watch for. And if these signs happened, that it would tell them that they were still on the same path. And so from the understanding that I have, the prophecies have been fulfilled by many different tribes around the world, including the Mayans, and the Incans and the Huichols and the, you know, a number of other tribes. But George, where are these traditional people? Because the ones that are speaking right now are not the traditional people. I can tell you that for certain.
No. So why are they silent, the traditional ones?
For the reason that I'm explaining and expressing, and this is why I'm hopeful that it will clear the path a little bit. Because when they speak, it is so often used out of context by other individuals to further themselves in some way, or the information is misunderstood. So if they say, for example, that the blue star did appear, all of a sudden it's going to create absolute panic because everyone's going to think, oh my gosh, the blue star's appeared, it's the end of the world. Yeah. So I think getting the message out to say that is not the truth for the blue star is the first step. That's what I believe. That's what I believe in my heart with my interpretation of this. They can't come forward and tell us that these prophecies have happened or have not happened because it's not being clearly heard by people. And that is why they have not come forward. And what we're doing, like myself and a group of us in starting what we call the Great Gathering, we intend on giving these indigenous voices a clear voice to the world from their hearts, and to give us instructions for how we can move through this very special time.
And tell me about this gathering. When is it, and where will it be?
Where will it be? Well, the gathering is an event that, as you know, as clearly as I've hopefully been able to express here, has been given to me the information about it from these tall blonde ETs. And then finding out as I've walked, you know, with the sacred people, the different tribes, that their prophecies also talk about this great gathering. And it's the same thing for all of us. We are in that time, and how this will transpire is that we intend on getting the message of the great gathering out first to make as many people as possible understand that it's time for this to take place and that we need to come together to create this voice. And it's not my voice, it's our voice, the voice of the indigenous, the industrialized world, the scientists, the religious leaders, all of these people. And we are saying that in 2010, the Great Gathering will take place. And we do not have a specific place that we have chosen to have this event, because as we take this step by step and give people instructions of what they can be doing to create this, how we're going to connect our networks to get these messages out. We're also going to be giving them instructions of how to create a gathering in their own area, because this isn't about money, George. This isn't about charging people to take part in an event that has to do with humanity and the earth. And so there's a lot of questions around when and where and how and who's going to do it and all of these things, but we're going to have to take this one step at a time because the indigenous tribes have begun to move. Great gatherings are happening all over right now, all over the earth. And I've already had interest from people in a number of very sacred areas around the planet from very sacred people still living in the traditional way who have expressed an interest in having gatherings in their particular areas. And so we don't want to announce anything because we need to simply get the message out that this is the year of the Great Gathering. And if we can, this is what the Hopi are doing right now. They're laying out the plan for the next year. I was on a conference call the other day with people who were all going to be putting out the message to their networks for this year to be the year of great change. And I was just shocked by some of the things that they were saying to me and quite overwhelmed because these were all contactees who have received not just the exact same messages of me as me, but for the same timing. We are hopeful that we will be able to create this sometime in September On what scale will be up to the people listening. It will be up to humanity as to what scale it will take place on. But we can no longer afford to have our rights taken away as an individual and as a human being. And we don't need to do that. We don't need to go down that road anymore. And having respect for one another is a really easy thing to do.
Are you amazed at how the traditional prophecies of all various civilizations are pretty close to the same?
I have to admit, I feel like I live in an entirely magical world, George. You know, 22-year-old young girl living a very, you know, normal life, going out, having fun with friends, has an experience with tall blonde extraterrestrials, and the next thing I know, I am sitting here going, all right, great gathering of humanity, and, you know, all of these very sacred people around the earth that are going to come together. And then I'm realizing as I move into this further and further all the time, George, that the information that was given to me by these ETs, the reason that these prophecies, they told me, what they said was this. Let me stop myself for a moment.
Okay.
What they said was that these particular groups of people that were taken from the third world into the fourth had been all given the same messages. And that if they were able to remember the sacred knowledge, that they would know and remember who they were, where they were from, and where they were going. So they all had these same guides, prophecies given to them. So initially I thought, no way, I can't believe that, that's just ridiculous. Then I found the Hopi prophecies when I went there and spoke to them the first time and actually looked them up for the first time. And realized that these prophecies were identical to what information I was given. And then the more tribes that I speak to, the more I find that they are absolutely identical. And this is something that they have held on to because, as you see by people who are not, you know, they're researching it and they're maybe not understanding it fully on a spiritual level, they're misinterpreting it. There becomes confusion, and that's why they've held on to it and had that remain so private, because if all of that information about these prophecies was laid out, we may be a little bit more confused than we already are. And now it's time to get the information out from the true traditional people. And I'm not speaking for them. That's their job. That's what they need to do, and they will do that.
I was going to say, they will do that.
Yes, they absolutely will. They need to have the right people supporting them, and that's where I believe that what I call the star family will come in. Because as it was explained to me by the ETs in 88, they said, when this gathering takes place, they gave me very clear instructions. They said, find these very sacred, special people. They said, find these people, and they will have this knowledge, and that they will call the world. That's what they said. They will call the world. They will have the information that will help to transform the world.
Well, when we come back, we'll take phone calls with you next, Miriam, on Coast to Coast AM.